Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We're in our series on living for eternity, and today's session is entitled, Sow into the Spirit or Sow into the Flesh. And we are talking this morning about the concept of sowing and reaping in kind of a general principle. We're also talking about how sowing and reaping relates to eternity and not just this age. And a lot of times when we think about the concept of sowing and reaping, very, agrarian, whatever, culture concept, people doing farm stuff, they put seeds in ground and out comes things. But this is actually a spiritual principle way more than it is even the reality of if you plant seeds in the ground and water it right, put a little sunshine on it, something sprouts up. This is an actual spiritual principle, and it's one that many times we've looked at as only what we will sow in this life, we will reap in this life. There is a real reality to that, but what we don't often think about is what we sow in this life, we will reap in the age to come. We will reap the benefits. We will reap the strength and the harvest of what we sow in this life. But, you know, the interesting thing about the sowing, and the reason I kind of like this parable, this concept, when you sow this really small thing that looks insignificant, and now it's hidden in the ground, and is it still there? Did a worm eat it? You don't even know. Is it still there? I mean, it's out of sight. You can't see it anymore. You sow things in hiddenness. You sow things in smallness. Jesus' parable about the mustard seed and the tree that comes up out of it. This small little seed, you put it in the ground, it's like, really, it is such faith that like when you plant that seed that anything would happen. It's like a seed. How does that turn into a big tree? It's a miraculous thing. And it's one that the Lord wants us to understand this principle about sowing and reaping far more about what we sow in this age in secret, in quietness, that's unknown, that's unseen, that will yield a return in this age, a little, but in the age to come, forever, forever. I just think about, you know, the way that my kids see candy. They like candy, all of them. And they really like it if you give them a piece of candy. But their eyes brighten. I've never done this, so they won't be getting this deal. Give them a piece of candy, their eyes brighten, but they explode if you tell them, I'll give you candy every day forever. Oh, yeah, Sherry Neely knows. She's had a couple of kids that like candy. And so here's where I'm coming from on this point. There is something about the eternal payoff where it's again and again, forever and ever, that has an accumulated strength that is so much greater than whatever the temporal payoff is. I like temporal payoffs. I like the concept of sowing right now and then getting right now, you know, a year from now, a week from now, 5 years from now. I like that. But it's way better with the promise of how about candy every day forever? The idea that what we would sow now, we would actually be able to reap on the benefits of that for eternity. Now, Galatians 6:8 tells us a little bit about how this works. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Ooh, that's not awesome. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, this principle, what we're reading here, is not just a heaven and hell issue. It for sure is a heaven and hell issue. For sure. But it's not only, it's also about quality of life. I can tell you, as somebody that loves the Lord, but I've sown in dumb things in my life. I mean, we want to try to minimize those, but it's called sin, right? And I've then seen the reaping of that destruction in my life, the damage that it causes. I say something just as simple as this. I say something sharp to you. It wasn't intentional. I didn't mean to hurt you. I said something sharp, and I immediately start reaping destruction. It's called evil glares from you. I start reaping destruction because it's not just, that this little moment has no impact. You immediately start to see the impact now, not only in the age to come. Now we see it here, reaping eternal life, reaping eternal destruction. But it's not just a one-time heaven or hell issue. It's actually the cumulative sum of our sowing. What we sow, we will reap. So if you sow this over here and it's good, you're going to reap good stuff because of that. On the same day, if you sow this stuff over here and it's bad, you're going to reap destruction from that too. Both. You can get both. It's really pesky, this free will thing. I have a real hard time with it sometimes. Like, I just would love to be a praise bot. I think it would be so much easier. Just wind me up and let me go. You know? But no, we've got all these choices to make, all these decisions. And we will reap what we sow. Well, let's read a little bit about what the Word of God says, just about the general concept of sowing and reaping. Okay? 2 Corinthians 9:6, then Galatians 6:7, and James 3:18. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I just want you to remind yourself, this is the Bible from the man that doesn't lie. The Holy Spirit testifies to the Scripture. The Scripture is the Word of God. If it's written in the Bible, it is fact. Our emotions can often tell us lies. Our friends can even lie. For sure, the news does. But the Bible doesn't lie. The Bible doesn't lie. So here's what it says. If you sow generously, you'll reap generously. That's not just money. For sure, it's money. But it's not just money. It's love, it's affections, it's encouragement, it's strength, it's service. What you sow, you will reap. And what you sow generously, you will reap generously. Look at the next verse. I just love this one. This is Paul like, hey, I don't think you're paying attention. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Wait, I'm not sure if I believe in this sowing and reaping principle. God cannot be mocked. Do not be deceived. You are giving into deception if you think for a second, because a man reaps what he sows. We will reap what we sow. Reap. We'll get back. It's not just other random good things. It's actually, from God's perspective, return on investment. We will reap what we sow. James 3, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. There's plenty of verses that talk about it. I just wanted to give us a few to kind of get us understanding this idea that the Bible is really into this concept of sowing and reaping. And that there's a return that God says, I won't be mocked on this. There are a lot of things in life that maybe are unsure, but this concept of sowing and reaping, it's concrete. It's solid. We can count on it. We will reap what we sow, but it's not just in this age. You're going to live forever. I just want you to think about the brilliance of God making you eternal. He made you never die. I mean, your body might fade, but then you're going to get a resurrected body. You will never cease to be. No one will ever cease to be. You don't poof and become dust or dirt. That's not how that works. You will forever be. So when God thinks about you, he's not just thinking about you for 80 years. He's thinking about you for 80 billion years, and he likes you in 80 billion years from now. He likes you. He's thinking about your future and your destiny millions and billions and trillions of years from now, not only your 80 years. So it would really be weird for a God who loves to give gifts, who loves to bless his children, who loves to interact with us, to tie all the good stuff only to the 80 years that we're in this current state. This is just the beginning. This is like, it's just so meager and small. What we experience in this age is just the smallest fraction of a whisper of what will be. We will experience the goodness of God forever. We will reap for eternity what we sow in this temporal age. Think about that. The return on investment here is profound. We're making eternal investments. That's just it's a fun idea. What a fun way to live. If I make this decision, I'm going to reap. I'm going to reap what I sow. It's also pretty terrifying when we sow something ugly. We need to be thinking about that and going, how do I go make this right? The kindness of the Lord, it's the craziest thing. It's just, he's so much better than any boss. He's so much better than any nice person. Here's his perspective. If you do something dumb, and you probably will before you leave today, if you do something dumb, it's called sin, think something, say something, whatever. If you do something dumb, repent of it, and he washes it clean as though it didn't happen. That is unbelievably kind. But here's the other side. When we do right, when we sow into the Spirit, when we sow into eternity, that doesn't get wiped clean. He's like double nice. He gives us a way out of our dumb, and he will not forget our righteousness. Oh my gosh, you're just so kind. So incredibly kind. Countless decisions, not just the big ones. I've shared this before, but I just think some of you probably can relate to this. When I first came to know the Lord, I was convinced Christianity was about making three or four really radical decisions. If I can just do this really hardcore thing once in my life and then just try to hold to that hardcore thing. And then I've got two or three more hardcore things in my life. And after that, that's it. That's Christianity. You just do two or three hardcore things. The Lord's like, no, actually. As cool as you think you are doing those hardcore things, it's way harder to live righteous every day. It's way harder to sow into the Spirit daily in the decisions, the thought processes. It's way harder, and it's way more important. And then, yes, as the Lord gives you grace, make some crazy decisions that are helpful, that are strong, that are beneficial. Don't do it to look cool. Do it because you feel the Lord in it. Do it because it's biblical. But that's not actually your life in Christ. I want to say that again. Your life in Christ is not defined by the three really big decisions you made that were cool. That is not who you are in Jesus. Who you are in Jesus is your day in and day out. You know, those farmers, it's constant attention on that field. It's constant. It's sow, and not just sowing the seed, but then protecting that seed, making sure it gets the proper amount of rain, you know, making adjustments, taking care of the bug issue, all different kinds of stuff. Rotating the crops. There's just tons of attention. It's not just that they bought a farm. The big radical decision. Look what this says, 1 Timothy 6, just a couple verses, talking about the countless little decisions that we make. 1 Timothy 6 and then Galatians 6. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. Deeds, lots of them. To be rich in good deeds. To be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. I want to take hold of the life that is truly life. I don't want to take hold of the life that social media has sold me. I don't want to take hold of the American dream. I want to take hold of the life that is truly life, and we are exhorted, be rich in good deeds. Be rich in them. Not that we've done one. We did those three big things in our life, but that it's regular. It's part of our life. It's part of our investment because we recognize this good deed is seen by God, and it's a sowing of a seed that will reap me an eternal harvest. Look at it again. Good deeds. Equal sign, laying up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. I want to sow into the next age. If that means I don't have as much in this age, I don't get as much in this age, I don't look as cool in this age, that's okay. I want to be rich and famous forever. It's about laying hold of the foundation of the age to come. And we do that by how we sow. Galatians 6:9 says similarly, let us not become weary in doing good. Why? At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I want to reap. I want to be a reaper. Not like the grim one. I want to be like the happy reaper. Just imagine whatever the grim reaper looks like, just changes colors and his sickle to like, I don't know, a magic stick with colors and candy on top. I want to reap. I want to reap like crazy. And the promise is, if we don't become weary, I just want to encourage some of you have become weary. Do not become weary in doing good. It's your perspective has shifted just a little bit. Don't give up. Don't quit. Listen, there's going to be some difficulty in this life. There's going to be some trips and some disappointments, and that's okay. Don't become weary in doing good, because we know that if we don't, we will reap a harvest in the proper time. All right, well, let's talk about sowing into the Spirit. As a new creation, it's the greatest thing ever. We got to experience a transition from only having a sinful nature to now still having a sinful nature. I really wish we could have just gotten rid of that, but it didn't go away. But everybody else out there that doesn't have Jesus, all they have is a sinful nature. That's all they got. On their best day, their efforts are still filthy rags because all they've got is a sinful nature going on within them. But we got an upgrade because we became a new creation, and now we have the Spirit within us. And here's what it says about sowing into the Spirit. It's every day. It's every decision. Look at this, Galatians 5, 16 through 25, little excerpt here. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sinful or the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I'm going to break this down a little bit. I'm going to touch on just a few key phrases from this because I think this is helpful. If we're talking about how do we sow into the Spirit, what's that look like? We get a few keys from here and maybe a couple places as well. How do we sow into the Spirit? We live by the Spirit. You see that? So I say live by the Spirit. Let me just give you a quick phrase or two on what live by the Spirit means, because that's a bit cryptic, right? Are you living by the Spirit? I don't know. What do you mean by that? That sounds mystical. Well, let me break it down. We lean into what pleases Him. We live by the things that please Him instead of the things that please our flesh. We live by that. We live by the Spirit instead of living by our own thoughts. And I just want to encourage you, some of you still need to crucify some of your thoughts. Some of you still need to crucify some of your desires. That's what we're going to be looking at here. Because we want to live by the Spirit. So we go, oh, what pleases you, Lord? I want to lean into that. I want to live and lean into the things that please the Lord. That's what living by the Spirit means. Obviously a big statement, but if you need it in a phrase, we lean into what pleases the Lord on the regular. Another line, to be led by the Spirit. So we just said live by the Spirit. What about be led by the Spirit? Because we see that here as well. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? We seek His plan and we do it. We seek His plan. Seek. If we're seeking, we will find. That's what the Word says, right? If you're not seeking, no wonder we're not finding. But to be those that are led by the Spirit means we're looking for the leadership of the Lord in our lives and we're asking Him about it. We're saying, God, what do you want me to do about this decision? How do you feel about this thing? Instead of just making our own decisions, instead of just doing what we want, we ask the Holy Spirit. I can just tell you, as I've given myself more and more to this concept, I am shocked how many times He tells me, don't say that. I was about to say it, Lord. No. So unhelpful. Don't say that. No, Lord, I know better. You don't know anything. I was going to say that. No. I was going to go there. No, don't go there. No, Lord, really, it's good to go. Don't go there. I don't believe it. You don't want me to go there? You don't want me to say that? You want me to go there and say that? See, we're led by the Spirit. We ask Him for His input on our decisions. You know, the Holy Spirit can help you with your life and your finances and your relationships and everything. You can be led by the Spirit, but only if you're seeking. And if you don't seek, you won't find. And if you seek, you will find. And I just want to encourage you, be led by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will only lead you into eternal goodies. He will give you eternal goodies. As you ask for His leadership, He will speak and He will lead you. Now, you may not like what He's asking you to do or say or refrain from. You may not totally appreciate that, but it's actually Him trying to give you an eternal yield. He wants you to reap a harvest forever, but we've got to be those that are led by the Spirit. So the first was live by the Spirit, which I'm saying, lean into what pleases Him, that you know it's written in the Word of God. You already know it. It's right there. Then be led by the Spirit. Holy Spirit, how do you feel about this? What do you want? He will lead you into ways everlasting. He will help you actually store up those great treasures in heaven. The next one, keep in step with the Spirit. I don't know if you saw it there. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know what I found? It's easier to just ask the Holy Spirit what He wants about big things and then like tune Him out and then not talk to Him about anything else for a while. That's easier because he kind of gets to meddling. Holy Spirit, the great meddler, the meddler of my soul. He loves me, but he loves to meddle. He gets in there. So if we wind up asking him, what direction you want me to do? What do you want me to, you know, what? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to do this situation, handle this issue? And we say yes, and we start taking steps down that direction, but then we stop the conversation. We can find ourselves out of step with the Holy Spirit. Let me say it this way. Being led by the Holy Spirit, in my opinion, this is just me talking up here. In my opinion, being led by the Holy Spirit is you started doing the right dance with him. He said waltz, and you started waltzing. And that's what you're supposed to be doing. But if you don't keep in step, you're actually not waltzing with him up there on that stage. You are waltzing outside of where he's at. Keeping in step requires far more interaction, far more communication, far more asking the question, now what do you want me to do? How do you want me to make this decision? And the Holy Spirit will actually speak and lead. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just start the dance. I want to finish it with him. I don't want to just start walking in the direction that the Lord leads me. I want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And I'll just tell you this. When I'm doing that, my life is epic, no matter how bad my circumstances are. When I'm living that way, when I'm in step with the Holy Spirit, he's saying this, I'm going this way, we're in step. It is like the coolest feeling ever. And you feel so fulfilled instead of random acts of kindness, in step with the Holy Spirit. It was a great example. We were about to start ministry time. And Lord, I just love you that I get to share this. We're about to start ministry time today. And someone looked over at me and said, hey, what do you think about this for ministry time? And I'd already sought the Lord. And I already was like, no, I got it. I got the word. I know the Lord, he shared it with me. It was just a little impression. Ask everybody to pray over each other, prophesy over each other, do the encouragement thing. And I was like, well, Lord, you know, we've done that pretty recently. I was like, I think we've done this kind of ministry time. I don't know, maybe it was 4 or 5 weeks ago or something. And I just felt the Lord like, that doesn't matter. Do it. And as soon as I was like committed to it, and then somebody, you know, said, hey, what do you think about this? I said, not today. I got it. As soon as we did it, and I'm up here on the front row, I just heard the Holy Spirit say, look around the room at the love fest that's happening right now because of your obedience. Because you just kept in step with me in the middle of the service. It's not enough that we had a service. It's that in the middle of the service, we're asking, what does he want to do? It's not enough that you've got a small group. What does he want to do in the small group? It's not enough that you've got a job. What does he want to do with the job today? That's different than yesterday. To let him leave, to keep in step, it feels awesome. It feels awesome. I'm going to skip down a little bit, sowing into the flesh, because that's a lot of fun. Mark 4, I just want to talk about what happens. And it's, you know, part of this is a little like warning, get us just a little bit of the fear of the Lord. That's good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Anybody that doesn't fear the Lord is still dumb. So as we grow in the fear of the Lord, that's healthy. That's good. But what that means is we've got to talk about some attributes, some aspects, some things that are like, that's a little trembly. A little trembly is a good way to live. You don't want to live in oppression under only tremble, but you've got to have a little tremble or you're out of balance. Sowing into the flesh, still others, like the seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Yes, I know in the primary context of the passage, this is about salvation. Those that hear the word of salvation and they either allow these things to happen or not. I get that, I understand. But that's not the end of the wisdom of this Bible verse. What this says is it establishes some universal principles, and that is the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things choke the word and make it unfruitful. The desires of the flesh, desires for other things, they choke the word and make it unfruitful. Here's what I want to warn you about, this whole sowing and reaping thing. You can actually sow things that will make your life unfruitful. Your relationship with God, unfruitful. Your eternal inheritance, unfruitful. You can choke it out. You can also in a moment go, come to my senses, Lord, help me. And repent of that. He loves pushing delete on all your dumb stuff and helping you move forward. He loves doing that. It's like his favorite. He wrote it into the equation because he knows you will not live perfectly. So if you're like, well, man, I've been really having a bad week, month, year, or decade. Okay, well, glad you're here this morning. Push delete, repent, and quit that. Turn to the Lord. But I look at this and go, the power of what gets sown. And if we're not careful, we can sow things into ourselves that will make the word of God unfruitful in our life, will make us unfruitful and unproductive in this age. We want to sow the stuff that's going to make us fruitful, not sow the stuff that isn't. And I throw out a couple here. The worries of this life. You have them. They're real. Don't give in to them. They're real. Jesus didn't say there are no such things as worries of this life. But if you give in to those things, if you meditate on them, they'll destroy you. Okay, I just want to paint the picture. Let's pretend the next 80 years are just horrible. They're just bad. It's horrible. Like everything bad happens, and then just when you got a break, the thing blew up. And it's that way for the rest of your life, but you hold your heart right. And you die broke and alone with a right heart before God. When we come and visit your house upstairs, we are going to be embarrassed by ours if you kept the right heart. Because it's not about this age. I want good things for you in this age. I hope that for you, but not at the expense of the age to come. You're going to live forever. It is cruelty to get people to sell out for the short-term exchange. That's cruelty forever, forever. You're going to have what you have or not based off of how you lived in this life. There will be so many that stand before him. Lord, look what I did. Look at all this stuff I had. Look how you blessed me. And it's like, where was your heart? What were you sowing into? Because you will reap now what you sowed for your 80 years. You're going to reap what you sow. Oh my gosh, Lord. I don't want to be unfruitful, but we will be depending on what we sow into our lives. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth. I almost wonder if Jesus just knew that America was coming. I mean, our whole world, our whole construct is about, please be as deceived as possible by wealth. Like from every direction, please be deceived. No, you're not deceived enough. Be more deceived. Here's a seminar on how to deceive you. The deceitfulness of wealth. It's a liar. It's a liar. The deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things. The desires that burn within us. Ephesians 2:3 says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. We do not want to sow into the desires and thoughts. Listen, some of you this morning, you need to hear this because you're doing it. This week, you are sowing into the desires and the thoughts of the sinful nature. You want to do an abrupt turnabout and face. You want to turn from that. You do not want to give in to those cravings. Look at this language. It's just so intense. It's so intense. Look at it. Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. You want to crucify those desires and thoughts, not follow them. If you feel yourself being led in those desires, you want to turn around. 2 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Is Peter making it really clear, as a Christian, you can do the same thing that the lost person did. You can give over to the same dumb stuff. Don't sow into the flesh. Don't sow into the flesh. Ask God for help. Stop right there. Do not sow into the flesh. You're actually dealing with, you're subtracting your inheritance and your glory for the age to come. By sowing into the flesh, do not give in to the evil desires. I don't know how else to say it. You all, like me, have evil desires. Every one of us. You have evil desires. but don't give in to them. Don't think it's strange that you have them, but don't dwell on them. Don't give them place. Don't give them thought. There are cravings within you that want to do horrible things, wicked things. That's normal. Don't give in to them. We live in a generation that says, I feel this way, therefore I am. No, do not give in to the cravings of the sinful desires. They're there. Don't give in to them. Don't sow into those. Do not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. It says, Galatians 5:16. Gratifying the desires of the sinful nature. Does that just sound like a horror movie? This is horrible. It's so horrible. Don't do it. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't ask you to do something that he wouldn't then empower you out of. You've got the ability to get out of that. Look at this. Jude 1:16. They follow their own evil desires. That phrase, their own evil desires. Nobody even had to give them to you. You didn't have to look it up on the internet. You didn't have to go get evil desires from someplace else. They're within you. You have evil desires. They are in there. 1 Timothy 6:9. Harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Listen, I'm trying to help you with something here this morning. You have these in your heart. That's normal. You do not have to give in to them. You do not have to sow into them. You can sow into the Spirit instead of sowing into the flesh. And as a little helpful reminder, because Jesus is so kind, you will reap what you sow. Good news and terrifying news. You will reap what you sow. Don't give in to those desires. Ask God for help. Get accountability. Do everything you can. Do not give in to those sinful desires. Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. I just find that that crucified man keeps trying to get up off the tree. We got to do it again and again. We got to crucify those desires. It's kind of violent language. I think it's helpful because we need to recognize we're in a fight. We're in a real fight. Galatians 5:17 through 18. I skipped just a little bit in the notes. Galatians 5:17 through 18, as I close out. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. I want you to recognize there is, in fact, a war within you. That doesn't mean that you're any worse off than the rest of us. You're the same off as the rest of us. There is a war within you. You've got the Spirit living in you, and he desires the things of the Spirit. But you also have the carnal nature, and the carnal nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And you're in this war. You're in this fight. You just need to recognize, let the carrot be dangled in front of your face. Every time you choose right, you're sowing for yourself a harvest in the age to come. Let that be a motivation. When you're in those moments and you're like, I just can't do it. It's so hard. Remember the motivation of the Holy Spirit. If you sow into the Spirit, you will reap an eternal reward. This makes life like, I don't know if it makes it fun. This one makes it a war. This makes every day of the week a war to be won, not to be laid down on the field. This is a fight that we have in order to be able to overcome. I think about this conflict, and it's awful, but it's real and it's not going anywhere. And the kindness of the Lord is not only does he tell us, here's right, here's wrong. He says, if you do right, you don't break even, you get eternal reward. But you already have to do right. He's like, there's no choice. Don't do wrong. But if you do right, I'll actually reward you for it. Not just break even. I mean, man, I need to rethink my parenting style here. I think all the time, I'm like, just don't be doing nothing crazy. And then when they don't do nothing crazy, they break even. When they do something bad, it's like, well, if they do something hyper good, then I give them something. The Lord's not that way. He says, if you just do what I told you to do, I will reward you. And our lives, our decisions, they matter. As we talk about this subject of sowing and reaping. I want you to think about it in relationship to all the decisions, all the thoughts, because he's paying attention and he actually intends, he desires, he set the whole system up for your benefit to reward you forever.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.